We roll on. Again, a lot of things to react to. As always, want to hear from you on the RommelSlaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I was looking at DenverSports.com. Our guy, Will Peterson, Scrappy Will, yeah, as we like to call him, wrote an article saying that the Broncos should trade up in the NFL draft to secure their franchise quarterback. And Will, agreeing with me, although Will has always been in that just draft a guy, any guy camp, which I'm not a fan of. My point, and he seems to be echoing this, is that if there is a guy that Sean Payton covets, be prepared to give up whatever it takes to go get that guy. Now, here's why I have to part company with Will. Here's what he wrote. Out of the final eight quarterbacks in the playoffs last year, seven were first-round picks. Heck, they're all household names. You don't reach the NFL quarterfinals without someone like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, or Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Will. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe.
Right.
Come on. You cannot put Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield in that class. They did not get to the playoffs in their current situation with the team that drafted them. To use a comparison here for you, that would mean, let's say, the Broncos draft Bo Nix, and he's a disaster here, doesn't work out, and in 3 or 4 years he's gone, he hooks on with some other team, and ends up having a rebirth, rejuvenates his career, and ends up going to the playoffs with another team. Are you saying that we're going to sit here in Denver and go, yes, job well done? We could take credit for that one.
Yeah,
we can feel good about that.
Give George Payton a raise.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
We're going to be ticked off.
Baker Mayfield on his fourth team.
Yeah, let's.
Does Cleveland look at that?
Don't play fast and loose with that one.
Yeah, that one's a little bit ridiculous.
But the argument is, I have never denied the importance of the quarterback. I've always disagreed with the way the teams go about trying to find that quarterback. And what it usually involves is throwing darts and assuming that all these guys have equal value, pick any of them. The numbers just don't back it up. You're talking about an 80% failure rate with these guys. So this is why you go out and you trade for a Sean Payton and you pay him all that money, because you are counting on one thing. This is a guy who knows offensive football. This is a guy who knows what great quarterback play looks like. Trust him, charge him with the duty of going out and finding his guy. Not a guy.
Right.
His guy.
Here's the other problem. And I'm just going to give you the problems of this whole kind of situation. Everybody just assumes that you can move on up the draft and everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're going to find your guy. Well, all of a sudden, Washington jumps into the fray and says, we like J.J. McCarthy. So now if you want J.J. McCarthy, you've got to move up to 2. Let me tell you the problem with the Broncos moving up. They don't have the immediate capital. Okay, we're going to go to immediate capital now. Not just capital, but immediate capital to make you a winner. So if you're Dan Quinn and Adam Peters of Washington, would you rather swap the 12 and next year's first and then 2026's first? Or would you rather get the 11 pick and the 23rd pick this year and next year's first rounder from Minnesota, so that within this draft and next draft, you've got 3 first rounders to add to your football team immediately? Because you know what, one thing I know about the National Football League, you got about there used to be a 5-year window to get your program together. You got about a 2-year window. If after the second year you still stink, Dan Quinn's going to be looking for work. He'll be a coordinator again. And this is Dan Quinn's. He's a defensive coach that had a nice run in Atlanta, but this is his second run and he's turned down some opportunities in the past. This is it. If this one fails in Washington, you know what? You'll be an assistant coach for the rest of your life, and which is okay, and you'll make a lot of money and you'll do really good things. But you got a 2-year window to make this one work for you. So if I'm Washington, where am I? Like, if I'm Dan Quinn, what am I doing? Am I going to take future picks in 2026? Hey, we'll get you a second rounder in 2026 as well. Or am I taking the immediate impact picks right now?
Which means, though, if you're the Broncos, then you've got to give up something or somebody that's going to be attractive to a team like Washington or Arizona that will help them right now.
So let me ask
you. So we talk about, you know, throwing a Patrick Surtain into the mix.
Which is, I'm glad you brought that up. Because what is Surtain's value on the open market in regards to draft picks?
I know where you're going with this. Lajarius Sneed.
Third rounder.
Just went for a third rounder. With Kansas City.
Yes.
Is, if Pat Surtain is here as a corner, where's Sneed?
Right.
Close?
Yes.
Okay.
But now the difference is you had to sign Sneed because he's a free agent. So you have to pay Sneed. Pat Surtain's still on a rookie deal. He just finished his second year. So he's still on the rookie deal, but you're going to eventually have to pay him. So right now he's got more value as a draft pick.
But how Sneed's much? He's a little bit older, too. Sneed's 27.
Right.
You trade Surtain, you're getting, what, three years younger?
Yeah, but he's going to be in his third year, so you're going to have to pay him eventually.
Sure.
You could probably...
Fourth year. He's going into his fourth year.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to have to... I mean, then there's not a ton of difference there. I mean, a little bit. But
if the Broncos don't trade Patrick Surtain this offseason, he's getting a new deal before training camp.
Here's the crazy thing about the NFL right now. As much as we covet these draft picks, the current draft picks, look what these guys are worth on the open market just a few years later.
Blows my mind.
I mean, Fields.
Yeah.
Justin Fields worth a sixth rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about from the penthouse to the outhouse.
I do think, though, that if you were just putting Patrick Surtain out there on the market, I would be shocked if you don't get at least a second round pick for him.
Well, sure, a second rounder, but
I don't think you get a first rounder.
No, but think about where you are right now then. So the Broncos are going to say what? Okay, we'll swap our 12 and our...
But if you start saying our 12, our third, and next year's first and second...
Right, and Pat Surtain...
And Pat Surtain to move all the way up to two, three, or four...
Right.
Can't do it.
Really, Fever? No? I say do it. If you brought in Sean Payton for a particular reason... If you just wanted to go with the approach that, hey, draft a quarterback, any quarterback, then you could have hired anybody to be your head coach. You could have hired a first-time head coach again and just gone with that strategy. You hired Sean Payton for a reason. Whether you like Sean Payton or not, the fact remains he's here and he's been given the kind of power that very few people have in this league. So let him wield it. And if he has a guy that he believes is that guy that could be the quarterback for the next 15 to 17 years, give up whatever needs to be given up because ultimately it will be worth it.
Right. I'm with you on that part. It'll be worth it ultimately if you've got the right guy. But again, you're going to get into a bidding war with somebody.
Sure.
And it's going to be steep.
It'll be steep.
And you couple that with what you've done, you know, with Russell Wilson and everything else.
You think Kansas City regrets what they gave up for Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Because
I'm here.
It'll be a mere footnote in NFL history what they gave up for him.
Well, because Kansas City Chiefs were 12-14. They just gave up future draft capital. They already had a really good team. So it didn't hamstring them moving forward of building their team. Their team was already built. This team's in a rebuild.
I'm here.
So throw a quarterback in there that you still have that doesn't. There's no way that anybody in this draft rates to what you know, the potential ceiling of Patrick Mahomes. Like, there was no, you can't sit there and say, hey, J.J. McCarthy has the same ceiling as Mahomes.
I'm here.
Jeez, we know. Okay. God, is it?
We heard
it's
you.
Not enough that you're the boogeyman. It's not enough that you torture us. It's not enough that you win Super Bowls. We know.
Yeah. Darn it. I'm here.
All right. You know what we need to do?
Yeah, he's starting to be as almost annoying as
Britney. Now we got to play
Britney.
Now we got to play. Yeah, you're getting Britney vibes.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
But you know, if you give Sean Payton that power to go get his guy, and you talk about what you have to give up, well, take a look at what Peyton Manning did in Indy. Okay, the year before Peyton Manning got there, they were 3-13.
Uh-huh.
Peyton's first year there, they were 3-13.
Right.
Then after that, 13-3, 10-6, but then they fell back to 6-10. You know, they were just kind of, right, you know, starting to build this thing up. And then it was just unparalleled excellence for the next, you know, decade. Just nothing but 10-plus win seasons. Going to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. Going to a couple of conference championships. It again, the quarterback does matter. It just drives me crazy the approach that teams take in going after these guys. What's shocking is how many of these teams drafted these guys knowing full well in their private conversations in their war rooms, geez, I don't know. I'm not so sure, but hey, let's do it. We'll excite the fan base. Our owner will love it, and it'll buy us some time. It'll buy us some job security.
Right.
Let's go with it. Throw a dart. Let's do it. That's the approach. That's what drives me nuts about this. You can acknowledge the importance of the quarterback position, but yet also call out the folly for how little conviction these teams have when they're picking these guys. That's what drives me crazy. And that's why I look at Peyton and I hope and pray that Peyton is not one of those guys. Because that'll be real disappointing. Because why did we go get this guy if all he's going to do is like, well, gee, I wanted to move up to get J.J. McCarthy, and I really like J.J. McCarthy, but the asking price was just too much. Oh, well, I'll take Bo Nix. God, I hope he's not. That's not the way he thinks.
But what about the... So Mike Tannenbaum basically said that it's a foregone conclusion, right? That the Broncos like Bo Nix, so they're going to take Bo Nix regardless. So, like, if Bo Nix is there at 12 and they take him, are you going to be disappointed? Or do you think all this other stuff that they've talked about has been
a smokescreen to divert people away from Nix?
Yeah.
Then great.
Because you know they'll come out and say, this is the guy we want.
Oh, of course they do. And I understand that. I know that whatever, if they do take Bo Nix or Michael Penix or whatever, they'll say, this was our guy all along. I know they'll say that, but will that really be the case? Because if it is, yeah, great. But if it's one of those things where it comes out down the road that, you know, hey, we really coveted McCarthy, but hey, we needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
And so Nix was there. So if that ended up being the case, then that'd be disappointing.
But you wouldn't find, I mean,
and that would go
by
against
the time you found that out, everybody would be fired, right?
And right. But that would go against Peyton and what he said at the combine.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
I'm holding Peyton to that comment.
There's a lot of...
You better not be just settling for a guy because you need a guy.
There are a lot of teams, and he's right about this. There's a lot of teams who aren't good at this or don't want to be good at this or whatever the case may be. But I will tell you, I'm with you, man. Like, you have to be held accountable there. And if it is Bo Nix 12 and that's been your guy all along and you've created, you know, you've created this false narrative and this subterfuge to try to make people think that you're coming up and, you know, and get people like Minnesota to get involved and everything else just so your guy will fall to you,
mm-hmm.
then awesome.
Fine. But you can't come out and say that at the combine and then take a quarterback just because, well, the guy we wanted is gone, so we'll just take him. No. If what you said at the combine you truly mean, then go draft a Michael Pratt. Go draft a Spencer Rattler. And because you're saying you're better at this than just about everybody else, go turn that guy into a star. Okay? Right?
Yeah.
Because the last thing I want them to do is fall into the same trap that so many teams do, and that is, well, we need a quarterback, and this guy's sitting there right now. Let's just throw a dart. I'd rather, unless you have the conviction of really believing in this guy, this is why we brought you here, then just go out and draft a stud football player. Continue to build up this football team. There's always going to be more can't-miss prospects coming up in every draft. Right. Heck, you're already hearing now that that the kid from Georgia, Beck, is already, in some people's minds, passing up Shador. There's a guy you haven't even heard of or have even thought about who, by the time the middle of October rolls around, people are going to be talking about as a first-round quarterback.
By the way, Baker Mayfield was considered a third-rounder, went first overall. When he walked into the college the year, his senior year, he was considered like a third or fourth-rounder, ended up becoming number one overall. Joe Burrow was considered a sixth or seventh rounder.
Going
into his last season, came out as the first overall quarterback.
Yep.
So don't tell me. Like, you know, Caleb Williams was the savior. Can't miss. Best prospect in years. Coming off a Heisman. Next thing you know, he's crying to his mom and snuggling his dog.
So this is both my
belief.
Not
that there's anything wrong with snuggling your dog.
Everyone loves snuggling with their dog.
Or crying to your mom.
But this is where I am showing both my belief in Sean Payton, but also kind of demanding more of Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're all that,
yeah,
and you're saying you're all that,
mm-hmm.
and we gave up all that for you to come here, then you know what? You should be able to do more with less.
Right.
And you should not be joining the herd mentality of, well, I need a quarterback, draft a quarterback, any quarterback. Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN, he put out a mock draft today. And the interesting part of his mock draft is he has Arizona trading Kyler Murray to Minnesota, I believe it was. Yeah, he has Arizona trading Kyler Murray to Minnesota and taking J.J. McCarthy at number 4. And then he has the Broncos. And is this the clip you want to play? This is the. It's almost like, listen to the way he says what he says about what the Broncos are going to do.
Bo Nix going to Denver, which I think everyone feels is a certainty. I think Sean Payton sees a guy that's smart, can process information, very accurate, probably doesn't have the arm strength that Drew Brees has. You know, watching Bo Nix carefully at the Senior Bowl, I thought he was good. That would be my one concern, is getting the ball down the field.
Oh, great. Let's draft a quarterback with a below average NFL arm. I know that arm strength, yes, I know, Mark, that arm strength is overrated
right.
when it comes to playing quarterback in this league, but you still got to have.
Drew Brees didn't have
good enough arm strength.
Drew Brees, yeah.
He's saying this, his arm strength, Nick's arm strength isn't as good as Drew Brees's. And Brees didn't have a howitzer.
Maybe not coming out of college, but Bo Nix's arm talent was better than Drew Brees' last 5 years in the league, I guarantee you that. And they won a lot of freaking games and went to NFC championships. So it's not that he doesn't have, he has plenty of arm strength. Plenty of arm strength. If he processes, he does, you can see that he processes quickly. He snaps the ball. He's got a quick, super quick release, which is, like, to me, better. You know, it's kind of the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Kyle Shanahan once told me with Jimmy Garoppolo is how tightly he spins the ball, where he goes, he can be a little bit late and the ball spins so, you know, effortlessly, and it spins so tightly that it gets places where the guy with a lot more arm strength can't get it. And so he goes, if you lined up, you know, 20 quarterbacks and said, hey, let's have a who can throw it the farthest contest, Jimmy Garoppolo is in 18th or 19th place. But there's nobody who spins it tighter to throw a deep out that can even be a little bit late and DBs can't still break on it. So, you know, there's fine nuance to arm talent. And again, whoop-de-doo. Does Brock Purdy have great arm talent? Nope. Is he on time with the football? Accurate? Has he had a tough time throwing it deep? Nope. That
argument. By the way, does Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota strike you as a Kyler Murray type guy?
Heavens no.
Yeah, that's the one flaw in Tannenbaum's argument here. I mean, I can see Arizona wanting to move off Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
But why would Minnesota, with a coach who comes from that tree of, hey, I want quarterbacks who are super efficient in the pocket.
Kevin O'Connell.
Dissect from the pocket.
Kevin O'Connell was there when they got rid of Jared Goff because they thought he had that ceiling and went to Matt Stafford and won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. So now you think he wants to go to Kyler Murray? Nope.
By the way, for everyone who said, well, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl with the Rams, yes, and the guy that coached him decided after that Super Bowl, I can't win a Super Bowl with this guy, so we moved him. And for those who say, well, Baker Mayfield went, you know, won a playoff game with Cleveland.
Yeah.
And again,
and they
Cleveland,
thought so much of him.
Yeah. So
they dumped him.
This isn't the argument that Will made was take a look at this year's quarterbacks. I don't care what Jared Goff did in LA. I don't care what Baker Mayfield did in Cleveland. He said, look at the quarterbacks this year. 7 of the 8 were drafted in the first round. Well, there's an asterisk beside that one because two of the teams that you're talking about, Tampa and Detroit, they didn't draft Goff and right. Mayfield in the first round. So, Will, nice try, but flawed argument. Coming up next, Deion Sanders started something. And I know, Mark, you're trying to downplay it, but I see storm clouds brewing. And I'll tell you why next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
Storm clouds are brewing. I know you don't think it's a big deal yet, but it's kind of like when, you know, in the Terminator movies.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Everybody, okay. You know, a little AI comes your way, and hey, that's cool. It makes my life easier.
Right.
Pretty soon, Skynet takes over, becomes self-aware, and, you know, we're sending John Connor back. So,
right.
You know, storm clouds are brewing. I'm telling you. So this all goes back to Deion Sanders on a podcast talking about and being asked, where does he see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter getting drafted next year?
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one. Mm.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
begin
one.
Into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen. It's gonna be an Eli.
Referencing Eli Manning, who said, I'm not playing for the Chargers, and ended up forcing a trade. He goes plays for the Giants, wins 2 Super Bowls. Definitely a topic of conversation. RG3 for ESPN, Robert Griffin III. Said, yeah, players gain more power, and they should have that power.
If the players that are coming up are saying these things and feel this type of way, you're going to see more of them pull an Eli and say, I understand that playing in the NFL is a privilege, but that privilege is earned through my pay. or through my play. And the players right now understand that they don't have to do the status quo and they don't have to sit here and answer to whatever they're told to do anymore, because without the players, all of these sports leagues are nothing. This is the player empowerment age, and you're seeing it come into the NFL.
Okay. I got to disagree with that. And what I'm about to say is probably going to tick off some people, might tick you off as a former player, but I'm just speaking as a fan. I don't want the players to have power. I don't. I think the more power the players have, the lousier the league is. I look at the two leagues where the players have the most power, basketball, the NBA, and baseball. Two strongest unions out there, NBA union, players union, and baseball. And I look at where the NBA is right now. I think it's lousy. I think the players have too much power. They miss too many games. They go through the motions in too many games. I don't like it. Baseball, why has there been such a big drop-off in baseball? I think a big part of it is because the players have too much power. You look at the NFL, and I don't think it's not a coincidence. I think it is a direct cause and effect. And again, a lot of you aren't going to like this, but part of the reason why the NFL is so popular is because the players have so little power, and because it rests with the teams, and because the players don't have guaranteed contracts. The players have to go out and play, and they have to play through injury. They have to play through pain. I don't want the players, especially guys coming out of college who haven't done a thing yet in the NFL, to all of a sudden gain this kind of player empowerment that RG3 is talking about. I don't think it would be good for the NFL that has become the juggernaut that it is if all of a sudden NFL players have the kind of power that NBA or MLB players have. I know that probably pisses you off.
No, it doesn't piss me off. And they have, you know, forms of guaranteed contracts. There is a lot more guaranteed money in this league than there's ever been at any point. And listen, I was against the rookie wage scale. I advised against the rookie wage scale when I talked to DeMora Smith about that. You know, and we went round and round on that. And, you know, they had more power back before there was a rookie wage scale where, you know, a guy like, what was quarterback's name that from Oklahoma that got $78 million to be hurt all the time? Remember Mark, the heck was his name? That's how, played for Philly, Sam Bradford. That's what, not Mark, Sam Bradford. He made like $78 million and just was a guy at best. So, listen, the way it works, and I agree with you, like, players have less power. How many players do you think are going to have power? Here's what I like about it. I like about Marvin Harrison Jr. or Caleb Williams. Go watch my film. Go make a decision. Go watch my film. I don't need to run around here like a zoo animal. Go watch the film. Do your work. How about NFL? Do your work. Combine's a joke. What's a combine give you? Dudes running in underpants. It's a joke. Why do you need it? Why do you need the combine? So you can go out and drink and eat a steak at Elmo's house and
that'd be
have some shrimp.
No, really, that'd be a St. Elmo's, but yes, Elmo's house. Elmo's house.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, seriously. So how many guys are going to have, at any point, going to have the leverage to say, my film speaks for itself, go look at it?
I think it's little baby steps. It's little drops of water that they keep adding up. You know, so suddenly it's Caleb Williams saying, I'm not going to throw. I'm not going to throw for you.
Okay.
It's Marvin Harrison saying, I'm not going to run for you.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon it's Deion Sanders and Shador saying, I'm not going to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell you,
and it, you know, for all the people who are like, hey, you know, Evans, you're wrong. Workers matter, all that kind of stuff. I get that. But if all of a sudden, you know, hey, the Denver Broncos were built on the idea of a guy who didn't want to go play for the team that drafted him.
Sure.
Everything that the Broncos are right now is because John Elway said,
not playing in
player
Baltimore.
Empowerment, right? Yeah. That's what RG3 is talking about. We've only had two examples of player empowerment in the last 40 years. John Elway and Eli Manning. Okay, that's two in 40 years. That's nothing. But what if it starts to build? And it's easy to say, hey, it's no big deal until it's your team that's on the clock with the number one pick, and you're all, as fans, coveting this guy, and that guy all of a sudden comes on and says, nah, I don't want to do it. Now, all of a sudden, how do you feel about player empowerment?
All right, but I would counter that saying, how many guys like J.J. McCarthy are there? Guys that were late first round, maybe even second round picks that have elevated themselves through their work ethic. How many more of those guys have climbed the draft charts because of what they've done at the combine and everything else? Mm-hmm. So there will be a handful of guys, you know, that are going to take that route. And you can say whatever you want: smart, empowered, selfish, lack competitive spirit, whatever you want, however you want to label those guys. You can label them any way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this: there's not very many times at any point in your career where you have leverage, where the organization doesn't have leverage over you. So when you have it, swing that damn hammer.
Okay, but be forewarned, because look at the NBA, right? What's the perception out there in the NBA? You know what? There are markets, there are teams that are attractive enough that players can decide to go form super teams, right? And it makes what the Denver Nuggets have done so impressive, but also so hard. Like, what the Nuggets have done is extraordinary because it's so hard to pull off in today's modern NBA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you say, well, hey, it's no big deal. It's only a few players here and there. We've already seen the impacts of, in college, of the transfer portal. It has completely ruined the college bowl system in what? 2 years? The college bowl system literally fell apart overnight.
College bowl
overnight
system fell apart because it became obsolete when you started a national championship series.
No, I would argue that it became obsolete the moment that players were allowed to enter the transfer portal, so much so that a bowl game kicked off and you tuned in and the first words you heard from the announcer was, so-and-so is making his first career start for Clemson, you know, or something that.
But years ago, if you're not playing for those national championship, if you're not in that tournament, like Christian McCaffrey didn't play in his bowl game. That's where the start of this was. And by the way, just the homegrown nature of winning an NBA championship. San Antonio won a lot that were homegrown.
Agreed.
The Warriors won a lot that are homegrown. And the Nuggets are about to take off and win a bunch that are homegrown. And there's a lot of teams that got put together, like the Phoenix Suns. There's a lot of teams that got put together that weren't homegrown that didn't win jack.
But there were some that formed super teams and did win.
True.
Boston did it. Miami did it.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that be careful when you talk about empowering players, because you have said time after time after time, man, our union, you're talking about the NFL union, players union, man, we're terrible. We greedily gobble up whatever scraps the owners give us. We constantly roll over in collective bargaining agreement talks. And I don't think the massive popularity of the NFL, I don't think that that's a coincidence.
No,
I think one kind of feeds the other.
I think it's part of it.
And as a fan, and I'm strictly speaking as a fan here, okay? Mm-hmm. As a fan, I don't want to mess with the current system.
I understand.
I don't want to mess with it at all.
I totally understand.
Okay. Coming up, Andrew Mason's going to be joining us in about 45 minutes from the owners' meetings where he and Cecil Lammy have been perched and camped out over the last couple days. Get his thoughts. But up next, as the Avalanche go back to work tonight, there's an interesting little debate that is cropping up right now. Is getting the number one seed truly that important? Tell you why next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mark, let me pose a question to you.
Okay.
Do you believe in the adage, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, when it comes to pro sports?
Yeah, there's a bit, like, yeah, you try to get an advantage. There's a difference between just out and out cheating and a little bit of a good quality gamesmanship.
How about exposing and using to your benefit slash abusing a loophole that was not intended for this reason, but it's a loophole,
mm-hmm.
and teams take advantage of it? What I'm bringing up is the Las Vegas Knights. The Vegas Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champions, have become very good and are probably the poster child in the NHL. There have been some other teams like Tampa, but Vegas is the team that takes advantage of the long-term injured reserve designation for a player, which allows you to take a player who's hurt, allegedly,
uh-huh.
and stash him on LTIR, and his salary, let's say he's making $5 million a year, his salary gets frozen while he's on LTIR, and it frees up the team to then use that $5 million slot to go out and add a player to the current roster.
Okay.
Okay?
All well and good. What the Avs did.
All well and good, right?
With Gabe, right?
Yes.
They did that with Gabe.
Then, when the playoffs roll around, if that player who was put on LTIR is eligible and healthy enough to return to play, he can rejoin the team with no salary cap ramifications whatsoever.
Okay.
Vegas has done it before, and currently they have $22 million worth of salary currently stashed on LTIR, which represents 25% of the overall NHL salary cap. And the expectation is Vegas will suddenly, shockingly, miraculously have these players ready to go come playoff time. Is that something to be condemned or applauded?
Applauded. You found a loophole.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And you know what? For the teams that, for the fans that are upset at it, I think there's an element of, are you upset at Vegas or are you upset at your own team for not equally taking advantage of this loophole?
I sometimes look at some of those things and I think, why wouldn't you? Like Bill Belichick all those years, there's nobody that knew the rule book better than Bill Belichick. And he made sure to exploit any little advantage he could get out of that rule book, sometimes to the organization's detriment, but they push the envelope with stuff like that. And I think those things are smart. If you can figure out the loophole, if you can figure out, you know, a way to make it work in your advantage, then good for you. And then when everybody else stands on their soapbox and goes, well, we don't play that way because we don't believe, and that's, you know, not the intent of the rule. But basically what you're saying is we're just dumb and we didn't really look into it.
Or
and
our owners are too cheap.
Right.
And won't take on the extra money.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hey, Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champ, and they found a loophole, and they're going to use it. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, come playoff time, they'll get a little bit healthier, and they'll have some dudes that come off that, what is it?
LTIR. Long-term?
LTIR?
LTIR, yep.
Long-term injury.
Reserve.
Reserve.
Yep. So I bring this up only because if the Avalanche win tonight, they will have played the same number of games as the Vancouver Canucks, and they will now have more points than Vancouver, which will give them the number one seed in the West, which is awesome. But as of right now, it would mean a first-round matchup with those aforementioned Vegas Knights. And so that is the question I throw out to Avalanche fans. Talked about it on my Mile High Hockey podcast, which you can check out at denversports.com. You have your choice. Do you want the number one seed and home ice throughout the entire playoffs if it means a first-round matchup with Vegas? Or would you rather they finish second or third in their division or second in the West and get a different matchup than Vegas?
Mm.
What say you?
I'd rather them finish second or third.
Really? You don't want anything to do with Vegas in the first round?
I don't. There are certain, what do they always say, style make fights? Styles mm-hmm. make fights?
Mm-hmm.
Vegas plays a style with the Avs that I just think that they have a matchup where even though the Avs are more talented, that they feel comfortable. There's a more comfort for Vegas to play the Avalanche than there is just about anybody else.
Huh, that surprises me. Your answer surprises me. I can't believe you're so scared. I say bring them on. For this very simple reason. If you truly are made of the right stuff, if you truly are a team that since the trade deadline have made all these acquisitions that make you now the team to beat in the West and maybe the entire NHL, if you're going to have to play them at some point, who cares if you have to play them in the first round? You got to beat them at some point, probably, right?
Sure, but...
So if you're sitting back saying, oh, we don't want to play Vegas because Vegas is scary, or we want to avoid Vegas in the first round and hope that somebody else knocks out Vegas, that's kind of... That's not showing a whole lot of belief in the Avs, is it?
No, I think I have a lot of belief in the Avs.
Just not when it comes to playing Vegas?
No, I think I have a lot of belief that they'll beat Vegas, too, but I think Vegas gives them a little bit of a... There's a little bit of a matchup there. So... Again, I'm not afraid to take the path of least resistance to a championship.
Neither am I.
Well, you're just talking all tough.
Well,
like, I want to play the best.
Let me get my sweater on.
I'll be down there at the Family Fun Center to do some practicing.
No.
Mike Evans!
No. I would like to avoid Vegas, but I'm not going to run and hide from Vegas.
I'm not running and hide from Vegas either.
Well, it sounds like you kind of are.
No.
I just gave you the option between finishing first overall with home ice throughout the entire playoffs or finishing second or third, and you said, I'll take second or third, please, so I don't have to play Vegas.
You just said you'd like to avoid Vegas.
But not if it means giving up the number one overall seed. I'm not that scared of Vegas that I'm going to say I don't want them to finish first
What happens to the teams that win the overall number one seed with the most points?
President's Trophy has a very, 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 very checkered past.
That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to give us the path
not good.
Of least resistance.
So you not only don't want the Avs to finish first because you don't want to play Vegas, you also don't want them to finish first because you run the risk of the President's Trophy curse.
Correct.
What had happened to you?
Correct.
What happened to... The Mark Schlereth I know and love that's tough and focused, and I want
all their guys to
get a taste. And I told you so. Island.
I want all their guys to be sick, all our guys to be healthy. I want to win.
I want to win.
I want to win. Dude, I want another cup. I want another cup.
But with the path of least resistance.
I'm a little bit concerned about Bednar's hair. That could be the one thing that trips us up.
Thing is, they're playing well with the hair.
I know, but there's too much hair.
It is shaggy.
It's shaggy, and he's got to put, what does he put in? It's almost like an oil. Vitalis. He oils down his hair. It's a little too greasy for me.
Who knew that Mr. Mom Jeans has bigger yarbles than Mr. Underwhelmingly Yoked Guy? Text of the day right there.
No, that is not the text of the day.
One of the best lines your response to wrote. Do you know what underwhelming means?
Yes.
He asked with genuine hurt and curiosity. Do you know what underwhelming means?
She was confused. She's just confused.
Oh, that's funny. That is really, really funny. Coming up next, going to hear from Sean Payton, who had a lot to say yesterday, including his thinly disguised contempt for Russell Wilson. You'll hear it all next.
Denver Sports.